Good morning. Good to see all of you out today. Beautiful, beautiful Sunday, and the kids' choirs are coming in here. They're going to share with us in just a few moments. I want to wish all the ladies present a happy Mother's Day. When I use the term mom, I certainly put quotation marks around it because I sort of have the good fortune in ministry of having a whole bunch of moms in my life, and I am eternally thankful for God placing me in ministry and allowing for that to be the case, especially in this particular year, which is a year that the Pennington family has suffered a loss, and my mom is up in heaven now, and so I really lean on you all, especially on this day when I'm a little bit of a bag of mixed emotions. So it's good to be here. It's good to be in the house of the Lord on this beautiful Sunday. It is also Ascension Sunday, and so our service today will reflect both a celebration of our moms, which we'll get to in just a couple moments, and also the main focus for the day, which is the celebration of the ascension of Jesus Christ to heaven. And so we'll be focusing on that. A couple of announcements that I want to make as we are coming into worship now. Next Sunday is Pentecost in the Christian year, and so that's a big celebration in the church, the birthday of the church. And we also have the great fortune of having 11 confirmation students, 10 of which will be here next Sunday, and one we're going to confirm just a few weeks after that. But 10 of our students will be here next Sunday, so please plan to come. It is one service, 10 o'clock. Everybody gathered together right here in the sanctuary, and looking forward to a great time. If you want to wear red, I see some of you are already wearing red this week. You're sort of pre-Pentecostals. That's awesome. You can wear red next Sunday as well as we celebrate the Holy Spirit like a tongue of fire upon the disciples' heads there and the birth of the church. So looking forward to that. We have one Sunday of regular schedule after that, and then off to the summer schedule on June 2. So looking forward to all of those things. And there are plenty of other announcements in the bulletin here. One announcement that didn't make it, but maybe somebody out there is wanting to help. Mike Luternow over here. Raise your hand, Mike. Say hi to everybody. He could use a little help on his computer. He lives at the Mary Campbell Center, and he needs a little help on the computer with some work. If you're computer savvy and can give him a couple of hours of your time, slip over there. He would greatly appreciate your help to get some files organized on his computer. Okay? So just you can call me at the office, or you can call the office and we can hook you up with him. Anyway, the rest of the announcements are in here. Please make sure that you mark down everything that is appropriate for your life. And I believe we are ready to worship the Lord on this wonderful Mother's Day and on this joyful Ascension Sunday.
Good morning. The title of that beautiful prelude that Kurt just played is Dear Jesus, We Are Here. And isn't it wonderful that we can be here celebrating Mother's Day together? So will you please rise in body or in spirit for our call to worship? Risen with Christ, let us seek the realities of the Spirit. He who descended is also ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. When Christ, our life, appears, we shall appear with him in glory. Alleluia. Please stay standing for our processional hymn, which is number 384 in the red hymnal, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
You're invited to be seated. Please join your hearts together with me in prayer. Gracious and everlasting God, we thank you and we praise you for this day and this time together. We're thankful, Lord, for your vision. We're thankful for the way in which you lead us and guide us. And so, Lord, come into this place, into this space. Send your Holy Spirit here to fill us, to give us what we need, to equip us for the ministry that you have in mind. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. We do want to celebrate our moms today, and the way in which we're going to do that is a little bit musically and also to have a little bit of fun. So I want to invite the children's choir to come on up and share their songs with us first. So as these guys make their way back to wherever their families are sitting, we're going to invite the junior choir and the Vocal Impact to come on up. And while they do that, I'm going to have a little fun with you. So let me get out of their way. And we have a prize for you. Okay, you're going to have to participate here. This bouquet of balloons up here is our prize. And so I don't know if I was old enough to do, I was daring enough to the oldest mom, that sort of thing, so I thought maybe I'd try something a little different for this particular service. So, all right, what I'm looking for is the mom who in her life has traveled the farthest from 2313 Concord Pike. Who thinks that you have traveled the farthest in the world from 2313 Concord Pike, right here, Aldersgate? Who's got a place where they've gone that they'd like to put their hat in the ring? Switzerland. Okay, we have Switzerland. Wait a minute, I'm headed back this way. Kim. Turkey. It's not just for Thanksgiving anymore. All right, we have Turkey, which is, I believe, a little bit farther than Switzerland. Karen? Karen has gone to the Congo. We've traveled, and Anne Murray's hand is still up, so I'm going to wander back here. Tokyo. Uh-oh. The Congo or Tokyo? There's a hand over here. Hong Kong. Okay, I'm going to say that Hong Kong is a touch farther than Tokyo, but I'm not entirely sure about Congo versus... Wait a minute. Oh, you had your hand up, Shirley. Australia. I think that's got it. Anybody can beat Australia? All right. Well, listen, this bouquet... We'll leave them right there. This bouquet of balloons is yours, my dear. Happy Mother's Day to you. Thank you. Well done. We're working our way up the singing ladder here. The littlest ones to the middlest ones, and now to the most mature ones. One of the traditions that I have enjoyed in my time in ministry is on Mother's Day, having the men come forward to share a song for the ladies. Gentlemen, wouldn't you please join me up here? Bring your hymnal. Come on, guys. Come on up here.
Grab your hymnal. Come on up.
Come on up. Let us sing to the ladies. Okay, as you're coming up, I have some humor. I know it's rare, but here is a little humor. I'm going to share just a couple of the top 10 things my mother taught me as the guys are making their way north here. All right, number 8, my mother taught me genetics. She said, "You're just like your father." Number 6, my mother taught me about anticipation. Just wait till your father gets home. I never heard that. Number 3, my mother taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. Never totally got that one. My mother taught me religion. Number 2, you better pray that'll come out of the carpet. I have a story that accompanies that for another Sunday. And the number 1 thing that my mother taught me was about justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Fellas, you ready? Brothers and sisters in Christ, as the guys make their way back, let us take a moment to pass the peace of Jesus Christ to each other.
Okay, I've got sound, so we can move on. And now that you've all settled down comfortably in your seats, please stand in spirit or in body for the 2 readings from our scripture today, which you will see are very similar, the first one to the second one. So the first scripture is a reading from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, and it can be found on page 110 of your pew Bibles if you wish to follow along. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the end of the first reading. And the second reading you will hear from the second scripture is from Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 53, is very similar. And you can find it on page 85 of the Pew Testament, New Testament section, if you wish. "Then he said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high.' Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple, blessing God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now please remain standing and join in the song of preparation, which can be found in the black hymnal, The Faith We Sing, and is number 2086. 2086, Open Our Eyes.
You're invited to be seated. A tribal chief lay dying, and he called to him three of his people and said to them, "I must select a successor. Therefore, go and climb our holy mountain and return with the most precious gift you can find." The first brought back a huge gold nugget. The second brought back a priceless gem. The third came back empty-handed, saying, "When I reached the mountaintop, I saw on the other side a beautiful land where our people could go for a better life." The tribal chief said, "You shall succeed me. You have brought back the most precious gift of all, a vision of a better tomorrow." Vision. Vision is as much of what this scripture tells us as anything. Vision. Have you thought recently about what your vision is? The church has thought about its vision over the past couple of years a good bit. I wonder how much the disciples had thought about their vision of what they thought things would be, where they thought they would be going, what they thought they would be doing, how they thought they would be acting. They have given us a little glimpse into what their vision was in the scripture passage from Acts. The question comes out in that passage of scripture that Nancy just shared with us. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? That's a vision statement. It's a yearning to understand where they are going, what's going to be happening, how their lives are going to be in the near future, and even in the far future. They understood kingdom a little bit. They understood that it had a lasting, long-term effect. Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Are we going to get what's ours? Are we going to be top dog once again? Is it all coming our way, Lord? That was their vision. Jesus Christ's vision for them was a little different, however. You see, this question of restoring the kingdom is on everyone's mind in that day. Everyone's thinking about what's going to happen. Everyone that's seen Jesus, everyone that knows Jesus, everyone that understands what he's all about. Now, he'd only been with them for 3 years, but in that time, think of all the things that he had seen, that they had seen. Think about all that he had done. After his resurrection, he spends some time instructing them for 40 days. We have just come through, or very nearly come through, a season of 40 days, which is the Easter season, preceded by a season of 40 days of Lent. We come through these seasons as well. But they still had lots of questions, as we may also. Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? This is where they're headed. Their vision is there. And Jesus, in a typical Jesus fashion, do you ever get the idea that the disciples might have gotten a little frustrated with Christ? Just maybe once or twice here or there. Lord, we just want an answer here. And Jesus has a unique way, a compassionate way, of directing them in the way that he wants them to go. When's it going to happen, Lord? And then Jesus says to them, well, you know what? It's not for you to know the time and the dates that the Father has set by his authority. It's not for you to know. How often have I said that to my children? You know, it's going to happen. Don't worry about it. You don't need to worry about that. The children of Israel are no different. He says, it's not for you to know, but guess what? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. You will be my witnesses. And in this one sentence, Jesus then reveals to them his vision. His vision for their lives. When are you going to restore the kingdom? That's not what it's about, gang. What it's about for Jesus is, you will be my witnesses. You're going to do this thing called witnessing because you're going to get power that you don't even understand just yet. You're going to be given this thing, and it's going to be awesome and incredible. Your minds can't really comprehend it right now. They would comprehend it a little more in a week when Pentecost happens, when they really received it and understood what it could mean. We'll celebrate that next week and hopefully do it in a way that we can get our minds around it. But for the moment, he says to them, Here's what the vision is. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to be witnesses. I do need to share with you that the term word witnesses in Greek can also translate into another more challenging word. And that word would be martyrs. Martyrs. So what is a witness? Well, we understand a witness in a particular way. We don't understand it in the martyr way that they might have gathered it from Christ. You know, for us, a witness is a person who has had some experience or something that they've seen or become aware of that puts them in a unique position to offer a truth about it. They saw something, they did something, they were witness to something, and they can offer a truth about it because of the unique position that they find themselves in. Jesus, obviously knowing that his disciples were also in a unique position to share what they had seen and experienced. I mean, it's not often that you get to see somebody change water into wine. Somebody give sight to a blind person that was blind from birth. Somebody feed a whole crowd of people of 5, 10, maybe 15,000 on a hillside with just a little teeny bit of food. Again and again and again, Christ in front of them releases, reveals, shows, allows them to be a part of the awesome power of God. And because he has given them this gift of witness over time, he commissions his disciples to witness to these mighty acts of God in history and to proclaim good news to a people that just crucified good news. To a people that just allowed the Savior of the world to die on a cross. They've been called to be witnesses in a world that is not going to be terribly nice to them. In a world that's not altogether different from the world that we live in today, a world where a lot of nations promise peace through war, promise fulfillment through wealth, promise power through exploitation, promise all of these things, which are quite opposite of what Christ was wanting to share and wants us to be witness to. Christ's vision for them was to be witnesses, and yet we're left here with this interesting moment in the Scripture today where they're looking up to the heavens. Did you catch it in both the passages, and perhaps you read it ahead of the service today, perhaps you heard it for the first time as Nancy read them, but there's this interesting thing that happens in Luke as Luke writes the gospel and as he writes the Acts of the Apostles. He shares a nearly identical story. But one of the things that comes through to us very clearly is that as these witnesses are standing there and seeing Jesus ascend, seeing him go off into heaven, they're stuck, for lack of better terms. They're stuck. They see the cloud and their mouths perhaps are hanging open. They don't know what to do. All at once, their vision of what they thought was going to be happening was literally evaporating in front of their very eyes. What they were perceiving was that Christ was going away. And yet in this one moment, in this moment of a mouth wide open, amazement, a shock, even horror of Christ getting carried away, maybe their minds were saying, carry us away with you, Lord. Let us too get carried away into heaven. Because if you're not here, Lord, then what is this world to us? What's going to be here for us? But what they didn't realize was that Christ's vision, in the moment of it evaporating from their eyes as they perceived it, his vision, his real vision for them, was just beginning. And so that's when the angels come. They're standing there, and the angels come and say, what are you doing? What's going on? Why are you standing here looking up at the clouds? What's happening? And they don't really wait for an answer. They said, look, paraphrase here. Look, you know Jesus didn't oftentimes do things the way that you thought he would. Same is true here. He's going, but guess what? The kingdom is here. It's starting now. You're going to receive something. You're going to get something. You're going to be equipped to be witnesses like you never thought you could before. If you thought for a moment that your job was done because Christ is going away, no, don't think that. Realize that your job is just beginning. and that the hard work is just ahead of you, and that that witnessing is going to, in some cases, be a martyrdom, and that it's not going to be a rosy path for you, but it's what you have to do because of what you've been given. And so they tell him to go and wait. Go back to Jerusalem and wait. They head there and they gather together in their room. And what's interesting is, as we look upon the scriptures, we realize that it's not an idle time. If the whole framework has been set up to be witnesses in this time, in this week between Ascension and Pentecost, they don't just sit there twiddling their thumbs. They don't just sit there idly and waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. They are actively engaged in something that will help them immensely to do that job. Once they've realized that Christ's vision for them is different from their own vision, and that witness will be what they are all about, they spend their time doing two activities that will help to that end. They gather in the room and they do things that we too need to do. They pray. The disciples gather in the room and they pray. Now, what's important about prayer? Well, if I want to have a relationship with you, I need to talk to you, don't I? I need to communicate with you. I can't hardly have a relationship with you if I don't communicate in some way. Perhaps I can't speak, but I can communicate. Perhaps, I can't see, but at least I can talk or something. Something has to happen between me and thee for a relationship to be built. Well, the disciples knew this too. Lots had happened between them and Christ in 3 years. And they realized that one of the things that Christ modeled the most was prayer. When he was feeling great, he prayed. When he was feeling terrible, he prayed. When everything in between, he'd pray. He'd go talk with his Father in heaven. It was so important to him. Why don't we pray more? Why don't we spend more time actively speaking and communicating with God? The disciples in that week between Ascension and Pentecost dedicated themselves to prayer, firming up the relationship between them, Jesus, God, and the Spirit which was to come soon. I want to challenge each one of us this coming week as we think about this time between Ascension and Pentecost to find new and unique ways that we haven't done before to pray, to take a little extra time and say, Lord, this time is yours. I just want to talk with you, God. For me, it might be, Lord, it's me again. You know, standing in the need of prayer. In the good times and in the bad times and everything in between. Find time this week to do that. Communicate with your Lord. So prayer is one of the things that they did there as they are preparing themselves for being these great witnesses. And the second is just as important to me. The second thing the gospel says is, and that Acts says also, is that they worshiped. They worshiped. It's easy to come here on Sunday morning and worship. But what I want to challenge us to think about is, how do we worship in the time in between? In between this happy hour that we have here, this great time of song and of fellowship and of prayer and choir anthems and singing choirs and everything else, you know, all the stuff that we do in this marvelous hour of worship. And it's so great to see you guys, you know. But this is easy, isn't it? I want to challenge us to say, you know what? Worship is more than an hour on Sunday, of course. When the Reminders were here last summer, one of their members, you guys remember the Reminders, right? I sent out a little thing because they're at the Grand, right, or at the World Live Cafe, the Queen, right now, doing a brunch and then a show. But Kevin Short, the bass player for the group and singer for the group, wrote a song, and the essence of the song is that, you know, every day is a day to worship. It's not just on Sunday, he says, but it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's every day. It's, you know, everything I do is can be an act of worship is what his song says. And that's what I want us to think about in our lives, is to say, you know what, when we wake up in the morning time and when our little eyes open and we see all that is around us and we make an active choice and we say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to find a way during my busy day to just spend a moment worshiping you, so that my Sunday experience is enhanced, and so that when I come to worship on Sunday, to be renewed, to be refilled, and to be restored in my spirit, which is what I desperately hope happens during our worship time together. You know, that there's also increments of that time and that experience during your week. We wake up in the morning and we open our eyes and we look around and instead of saying, oh Lord, it's another day, we say, oh Lord, thank you for giving me another day. Thank you for waking me up once again, and I praise your name, and maybe I'm going to read a psalm, or maybe I'm going to sing a little song if I'm a singer. Maybe I'll play an instrument specifically to worship you, Lord. That's what I'm getting at. Specifically for it. The scripture passage today tells us the story of an experience where Jesus is carried away into heaven. The disciples in that moment didn't fully understand what was going on, but they were instructed that they would be witnesses. I think they were probably thinking they wanted to be carried away, but I think that the angels would have said to them, get carried away. Go get carried away. Carry yourselves away, number one, to be together for a week. Pray and worship. Realize that God is coming again to see you, and it's going to be in the form of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be equipped. Pray and worship in this week so that you'll be properly prepared. For when the Holy Spirit comes, He will equip you. And you will then be able to be witnesses like you've never thought you could be before. You'll be able to go out into the world sharing the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. Friends, it's for us too. Let's get carried away. Let's get carried away with our Lord. Carried away in prayer. Carried away in worship. And ultimately carried away in witness. Find a way this week to do something that will allow somebody to know that you love Christ, and that can be your witness. Grace to you today and peace. Amen. I thought it would be a good thing for us to affirm our faith today on this Ascension Sunday as we believe in Christ. So, please open up your hymnals. And if you're able, please stand as we share together a modern affirmation, which can be found as selection 885 in the hymnal. And it starts out with me, and then join in when it gets to the pastor and people part. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all His works, and whose will is ever directed to His children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit, as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon earth. Amen and amen. You're invited to be seated. And as you do, let us prepare ourselves to give our tithes and our offerings today. And as we do that, please join me in prayer. Gracious and everlasting God, we thank you and we praise you for today. And we ask in this moment, as we give back a portion of what you have provided for us, that you would bless it and that you would anoint it, that it could be expanded and multiplied to make your kingdom here bigger. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Please remain standing. As I share together with you a litany for Mother's Day, each time that you hear me say, "We pray to the Lord," you'll respond with, "Lord, hear our prayer." Let us pray. Loving God, as a mother gives life and nourishment to her children, so you watch over the church. We pray for our mothers who have given us life and love, that we may show them reverence and love. We pray to the Lord. For mothers who have lost a child through death, that their faith may give them hope, and their family and friends support and console them. We pray to the Lord. For women, though without children of their own, who like mothers have nurtured and cared for us, we pray to the Lord. For mothers who have been unable to be a source of strength, who have not responded to their children and have not sustained their families, we pray to the Lord. Loving God, we pray that you would bless these women and all women, that they may be strengthened as Christian mothers, that the example of their faith and their love would shine forth. Grant that we, their sons and daughters, may honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. Loving God, grant this through our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us close our service today with a wonderful Easter song, "Crown Him with Many Crowns." Brothers and sisters in Christ, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with you this day and every day. Be strong in your faith. Be strong in your walk with God, and let all that you do, let it be done in the name of Christ, the risen Savior. Amen.